Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And we've been talking fish. Just got off the line with T. Gidd. Man, that guy's always got a great recipe, technique. Yeah. He's just a master at that Cajun food, and a lot of that is seafood. But Bob Dubisky's here, a career meat and fish buyer, purveyor, butcher. He's done it all. And I want to ask you a couple questions about fish. When I walk up to the meat counter, I can understand, just from having purchased so much of it, what a good piece of meat looks like to me and the one I want to buy. If there's five steaks in the case and I need two of them, I know the two I want to buy. I'm not so comfortable with fish. So it's varieties, but it's also what are the do's and don'ts? What are the ones I want to buy? What are the ones maybe you want to stay away from? And maybe we could touch on that a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Those are good questions. Let's start with whole fish. So a lot of people like to buy whole fish and prepare it, cook it whole. When you're looking at whole fish, you want to have the person behind the counter open the gills, and you want to make sure the gills are nice and pink and bright inside. If they're dark and cloudy, then you definitely don't want to buy that. You also want to look at the eyes. The eyes are a key factor. They should be bulging and clear. And if they're not bulging, what happens is as the fish starts to rot, the eyes will cloud up and they'll become concave. So anytime you see concave eyes or dark gills on the inside, you don't want to buy that fish because it's already started to rot. Fish rots at the head. That's where it starts, and then it spreads through the meat. So stay away from those type of whole fish.
Okay, so time-wise, does it vary by fish when that could happen? I mean, because that's – nobody – this is going to sound weird, but I don't like fishy-smelling fish.
Right.
Right?
Nobody does.
Right. So my point is there anything to the smell of it?
Well, there is, absolutely, and it should not smell fishy. It should smell
unless it's
fresh.
A mackerel.
If it's and if you got an ammonia smell to it, it's been around for a while. And the thing about seafood is, you know, a retailer can get fresh seafood in. They can get it in. They open it up, and sometimes you don't know how long that fish has been out of the water.
Right.
It starts to deteriorate as soon as it's pulled from the water.
And that's why the fishmonger that is dependable, you know, that guy that you have a relationship with that. You buy from all the time. You just come to trust them, and you know their fish is always good. And you might say, well, this is kind of expensive. Yeah, but how expensive is it when you're throwing it away?
Right. Right.
Or if you can't buy it.
And you want to have a good
sucking.
Eating experience. So it's important to have that fishmonger that they evaluate that fish every day. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't put a shelf life on it.
Right.
You know, like you can a steak maybe.
They look at it and smell it.
They have to look at it every
day
and evaluate.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely. And then.
So you do that yourself when you buy retail?
I do, absolutely. I'm a seafood
now
snob,
like this probably. Time of year you might be headed to Florida. Like I go to Punta Gorda to see my brother.
Uh-huh.
When we do, we go down to his local fish market, and it's so cool because they come in every day and they're just whole fish laying there on ice,
right?
And they'll cut them up any way you want or just give you the whole fish.
Yeah, there's nothing better than that.
So you know, to right? have these techniques you're talking about, I think is just invaluable.
So it there's a variety of fish that is filleted, and that's the only way you can buy it.
Right.
Right? So let's talk a little bit about that. What is there to look at in a fillet? Is it as easy as the eyes and the gills, or is there other things I should be looking
you
at?
You mean like a Swanson's?
Like a whitefish fillet. Yeah. Like whitefish. Everybody likes a good whitefish fillet, right? So it should be translucent, you know, and it should not be – when it gets old, it starts to look like a they call it a washcloth look, but it gets a little ragged. The meat gets a little ragged, and it'll start to not be translucent.
And
it'll
separate
to,
the
yeah,
muscles a little bit.
Yeah, when it starts separating, you don't want to touch that. You can always smell it. Ask the fishmonger to let you smell that, and he should let you smell it. He or she should let you smell it. It should have a nice, clean smell to it, not fishy. But that look should be, you know, translucent. It shouldn't be real... just the odor is going to give it away and the look. That's really what you have to look for fillets.
So like in Michigan, we have an actual whitefish. We call it whitefish. But there's whitefish all over the country.
Yeah, so
and what people call a whitefish isn't necessarily, right. If you grew up in the Great Lakes area, it might not be the same thing you're thinking of
right.
when you get that fillet.
And in my opinion, the Great Lakes whitefish is the best whitefish
you can
ever eat.
So good.
But people will call cod, pollock.
Right.
Sometimes tilapia. They call it whitefish because it's white.
Well, tilapia you should never buy.
Well, you know, I don't want to say that because
I do.
I've been to China. I've seen the farms.
Care. I don't need.
It's a very mild fish. Yeah. And if it's deep skinned, it's got to be deep skinned because there's a mud vein running down the back of it. And if you buy deep skinned tilapia, you won't have that fishy taste to it. But if you have a fishy taste, it probably wasn't deep skinned, and you'll have that dark colored strip down the back of it. That's where you're going to get some off taste
mud
with tilapia, muddy taste. Mm-hmm. Yes. So always buy deep skinned tilapia. It's very inexpensive, very mild, a good source of protein.
So if you're ever in the UP of Michigan, there's a town called Grand Marais, and there's a brewery there called Lake Superior Brewing Company. They serve whitefish, and it looks like a Cajun blend of seasoning. It's red. It's a beautiful. They serve you a big, thick chunk of a must be pretty good size whitefish because you're getting a cross section cut of it. And I swear it is the best whitefish I've ever eaten anywhere. Yeah. I don't know what they're putting on it, but I'm going back. And I'm going to sample some this summer.
It's awesome. But you can go to your local supermarkets here, Meijer, the Spartan stores. You can get whitefish that comes right out of Lake Superior. There's a
frozen?
Fresh.
Really?
It comes fresh. And during the winter, they go up to Winnipeg and ice fish for whitefish and walleye. So it is available fresh all year round.
If Spartan has it, that D&W would be a store that you could get it at, like Knapp's Corners, right. I'm thinking. You think they have a pretty good selection of fresh whitefish?
They have a great selection.
Really? Yeah,
they do. In fact, well, I've been known to buy some whitefish from D&W because, you know, I'm picky, so I might walk into a certain store and not see what I want.
Right.
I'll go to another store until I find that piece that I want.
Right.
And I've had very good luck at Spartan stores.
So that right there, what was the not want and the want? Why'd you go to the second store? What did you see?
Because,
again, it's just that washcloth look and stuff?
I mean, when you look at it and you look at it carefully, you can recognize the washcloth look and the tattered look. And if you can recognize that it started to deteriorate and it starts to flake. You know, it shouldn't flake until you put it in the oven and cook
it. So if you could, let's try and get online and find a picture of one and especially the washcloth look.
Yeah.
If you can, let's try and find one of those, and we'll put it on the Grilling Guys Facebook page as an example. And then
that's a great idea.
Because I can't say that I could describe it. I like your description. I just don't know that I've ever really seen it. I think I have, but I'd love to see a visual. We're visual people.
Yeah, and I am a trained professional, so it comes easier for me.
Yes.
But we put those pictures on the website. It'll help.
Yeah.
Right. And we'll put your picture with it since you're a trained professional.
Right. Yeah. Look at that. Bob and Job consulting a trained professional.
Oh, and they got hit by the train.
Right. Yeah.
We just raised the bar.
Right, anyway. Right. Yeah. This is the new and improved Grilling Guys.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But
I can't wait till somebody calls us out on him now.
Yeah,
I was listening, and that was Bravo Sierra, what that guy was saying.
So anyway, what Teagid did by grilling a fish with the skin and the scales on it, is that something that, I mean, Teagid's an accomplished chef, but is that tricky, or was it as easy as it sounds for him?
You know, it's easier, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy, actually, but one thing you'll find, you know, my experience with folks in the Midwest, normally, folks in the Midwest don't want the skin and they don't want the scales.
Right.
You know, they just want the meat.
Which is crazy.
So you don't see a lot of whole
fish. It's a built-in plate for you.
Right.
It's so nice. It
in
keeps
the Midwest,
it all together.
We do not sell a whole lot of whole fish.
Well, the whole world does it that way.
Exactly. Everybody but the Midwest.
Sissies. Well,
yeah, we'd rather have our strips.
Yeah, we'll go out in the woods with a bear chasing us, but we're afraid of a fish. Yeah.
But it seemed to me that made a lot of sense when it said it cups up and it holds the moisture, and the fish is going to be just better tasting. Those seasonings haven't fallen off. They're still
there. You don't
have
two sides drying out.
Right, and you don't have to use the aluminum foil.
Right.
I mean,
there you go.
You've got to use
then the aliens will hear you.
Yeah. That's cool. So your favorite fish on the grill, Bob?
So my favorite fish actually is sea bass, Chilean sea bass, which is the Patagonian toothfish.
Oh, and see, I knew we were going to get to it.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the Patagonian toothfish is the true name of Chilean sea bass.
Really?
And when they started farming it, fishing it, they didn't farm it, they fished it. They had a hard time selling it because who wants to buy a Patagonian toothfish?
Right.
So they enhanced the name, made it Chilean sea bass.
But they sell a lot of Vespa.
But I mean, that's one of the highest priced fishes at a restaurant that you can get.
It will be because it's very, very buttery. It's got a great flavor. It's buttery. It eats like candy.
All right.
It's
really good. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about some fish candy, so stick with us. We'll be back.